This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case that illustrates yet another difficulty in the federal law that limits death penalty appeals. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In 1988, Ronald Rompillo was found guilty of the stabbing murder of a tavern owner in Allentown, Pennsylvania. At the penalty phase of the trial, the prosecution put on evidence of Rompilla's prior crimes and referred to him as a frightening repeat offender, a cold-blooded killer who would learn by experience to leave behind no witnesses. The jury, during its deliberations, came back to ask three questions. First, if a life sentence were imposed, would there be any possibility of parole? When the judge said he couldn't answer that question, the jury came back to ask more questions about Rompilla's prior release from prison and whether there'd been any attempt at rehabilitation. Again, the judge said he could not answer. In the end, the jury sentenced Rompilla to death. In fact, the only alternative penalty Rompilla could have gotten under Pennsylvania law would have been life without the possibility of parole. And on appeal, his lawyers contended that the jury should have been told that. Indeed, in 1994, the Supreme Court ruled that when the prosecution argues for the death penalty on the grounds of the defendant's future dangerousness, the jury is entitled to know whether a life sentence allows for parole. But the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled that prosecutors in Rompilla's case had not expressly argued future dangerousness. Rompilla's lawyers then appealed to the federal courts, and by then, the U.S. Supreme Court had made a second ruling on this subject, declaring that it doesn't matter whether the prosecution expressly argues future dangerousness. The jury is entitled to know about the possibility of parole, even if the prosecution only implies future dangerousness. But a federal appeals court ruled that the second Supreme Court ruling didn't matter, because under the federal law limiting death penalty appeals, there can be no reversal unless the lower court makes a clearly unreasonable application of the law. And since the U.S. Supreme Court's elaboration on the question of future dangerousness hadn't been decided at the time that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court had ruled on the case, the state court's ruling was not unreasonable and must stand. Rompilla's lawyers appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, where today the justices will hear arguments. The case has a somewhat limited effect, since Pennsylvania is the only state that still bars juries from knowing in a death case whether a life term allows for parole. But it also presents other important questions on what constitutes ineffective assistance of counsel. Rompilla's trial lawyers did not seek records that would have provided mitigating evidence for the death penalty phase of the trial, evidence of Rompilla's traumatic childhood, mental illness, and mental retardation. The court is asked whether this failure constitutes ineffective assistance of counsel. If it is, there are many more such cases in which the death penalty might well be reversed. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.